from God our Father and our Lord Jesus the Christ. If you accompanied us on our Lenten journey this Lenten season, you know that we've been taking our time to ponder and to reflect on Jesus' seven last sayings or seven last statements from the cross. But if this is your first time joining us this Lenten season, no worries. Welcome. Glad that you're among us. Now, as a refresher, we started with Jesus' prayer and his plea to God asking, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Then we heard him promised a repentant criminal saying, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. And realizing his pending death, he was concerned for what will happen to his mother. So we heard him take the time and the energy in the midst of his pain and agony to entrust her into the care of one of his disciples, John. Which reminds us then that love, and not necessarily blood, is what makes families. And as Jesus continued to hang there on the cross, having the weight, the burden and the ugliness of the sins of the world on his back, feeling the full force of God's wrath and anger upon him, God's wrath that and anger that you and I should be bearing on our own backs, having that weight of the sin of the world, Jesus couldn't help but cry out, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? But despite this feeling of having been abandoned by God while carrying and nailing our sins to the cross, we heard him shout in full trust and confidence to God, saying, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having done so, with his mouth dry from hanging on the cross for over 6 hours, he managed to say one of the first two shortest words that he uttered from the cross. He said, I am thirsty. And as a result, a sponge soaked in sour wine or vinegar to us that was given to him to drink. And here's where we pick up the story. Here's where we pick up the story and focus on his last sayings, his last statements, his last words from the cross. Tonight, Jesus' last and final statement from the cross is only 3 words long. It is finished. It is recorded for us in the 19th chapter of the Gospel of John. And it is starting at the 30th verse, John chapter 19, verse 30, which states that when Jesus had received the wine or the vinegar, the sour wine, he said, it is finished. Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Now, so that we can find the comfort Jesus intends for us sinners, tonight I invite you to consider with me what this short 3-word statement of Jesus means. I invite you to ponder once more as we conclude our Lenten journey this night. I invite you to reflect once more on what these three words, statements of Jesus from the cross may mean. In fact, I invite us to look at what those who stood around the cross that very day thought about his final words from the cross when he did all he could, gasping for air to say these last three words, "It is finished." Let's imagine, what would Pilate or the Roman soldiers or the Pharisees and the religious leaders of Jesus' day, what did they think of when they heard Jesus say, "It is finished"? Perhaps when they heard Jesus make those three last words, perhaps you could have heard Pilate and the soldiers and the religious leaders a sense of a smirk of gladness, and probably a sigh of relief for them. After all, this man threatened their power. This man ruined their tradition. This man bothered and messed with their way of life. And this man dared to challenge their authority. But now, finally, this blaspheming, rabble-rousing rabbi hangs helplessly on a cross. Now you can stick a fork in him. He is done. He's dead. Finished off. He's no longer their problem. Finally, they can go back to business as usual. What about Mary, Jesus' mother, standing at the foot of the cross, watching her son bleeding, tortured, gasping for air, now hearing her son, her own flesh and blood, crying out, "It is finished"? That must have been a gut-wrenching experience for Mary. This is the woman who birthed Jesus into the world. Now she stands helplessly at the foot of the cross as she watches her son exit the world that he entered some 33 years earlier. This is the woman, the one who first heard the cries and the coos of her baby so many years ago in the tiny stable in Bethlehem. Now all she hears is her boy crying in agony, in pain on the cross. Mary, who used to be able to comfort her son with her hugs and kisses, now has nothing to offer him but her tears of helplessness. She cannot wrap him up in her arms and make the pain of the world disappear. Her baby boy, the child that she had nurtured, delighted in, so proud of, her son, now it's all finished. He is gone. And what about his disciples, the women and the 12 men that he chose who were to be his apprentices in ministry? When they heard, "It is finished," for them, it meant
the end of a dream. They had left everything behind, their whole lives. They've left it all behind to follow this man. Now what are they going to do? Didn't he promise them that he'll always be with them? Why isn't he fixing this? They thought he was going to do something really great. But as they watched their teacher, their master, their rabbi from a distance, as they watched their friend hang there on the cross, all their hopes and dreams are shattered. How could it be finished like this, they wondered. Yet he did say, "It is finished." What about you? How are you hearing these three word statements of Jesus, these last words of Jesus from the cross? How are you hearing them? Well, in the original Greek, what's translated in English as "it is finished" is a single word, tetelestai. This word, tetelestai, is written in the past perfect tense of the Greek grammar, which suggests that this happened and it's still happening today. It literally means the goal has been achieved and it continues that way to this day. So when Jesus spoke his last words and declared, "It is finished," he meant that he accomplished his mission. He accomplished and fulfilled his purpose once and for all time. So do you know what that means? It means that Jesus' last three words from the cross is not a weak, whimpering whisper uttered by a defeated man. No. Jesus' last words from the cross is a victorious proclamation of the fulfillment of God's love for you, for us. On the cross, God has now finished the work that God has begun with us long ago. Because as sinners, you and I could not climb up to God. We could never achieve, or we can never be at his level. We could never be at the level of his perfection. As sinners as we are, we could never be at the level of his holiness or obtain his standard. So God had to climb down to us. God had to climb down to us, all the way down to a manger in Bethlehem, so that he could die on the cross at Golgotha. It is here on the cross, here in the bloody, torturous crucifixion, here in Jesus' death, that you can know just how much God loves you. It is here on the cross is where Jesus paid up and freed you from the clenching chokehold of sin and death. And by the way, that Greek word, tetelestai, in the ancient world, that would have been the word either stamped or written on a bill fully paid. It literally means paid in full, tetelestai.
That is what Jesus did for you and for me. Paid for our sins and the penalty of being rebellious people, sinful people. He paid it in full. Tetelestai. With his last words declaring mission accomplished, Jesus paid and freed us from the power and the influence of Satan, which are the powers that seeks, which are the powers that wish to pull us away from God. And because of what Christ has done on the cross, we have the promise that the Apostle Paul declared to the Romans, that there is nothing, nothing in all of creation that will ever separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. With his last dying breath, Jesus has at last accomplished what God has begun in us so long ago, namely to be in a full, loving, and life-giving relationship with you, with me, with us. So friends, when life becomes too hectic, when you lie awake at night worrying about this and that, going over in your head your to-do lists, when the voice of the evil one sneakily seeps into your ear and tells you that you're a failure, that you're not going to make it, that you're no good, you're not good enough. When this happens and you begin to doubt God's love for you, you need to remember. And you need to begin to call on the one who uttered the triumphant words from the cross, "It is finished." He has done it for you once and for all times. You are now good with God, and God is good with you. When the Satans and the minions and the demons of this world tries to convince you otherwise, remember, it is finished, Jesus said. All is done. The reconciliation between you and God is completed. All is good. Trust in that. Listen to your Savior proclaiming this promise of God's completed work on your behalf. It is finished. There's nothing else you can do to make God love you more than he already does in Christ Jesus. There's nothing else you can do to earn your status as a beloved child of God that he already has now called you in Christ Jesus. It is finished. The culminating act of God's love for you is now complete. It is finished. And God has done it. God done it, has done it all for you, for me, and for the world that he so loved that he gave his son, Jesus Christ, to die for it. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord God, that by your wounds through your Son, Jesus Christ, we are indeed healed. Thank you that because of your huge sacrifice, what you paid on the cross for us, for the declaration of tetelestai, paid in full, mission accomplished, we are now free and can live as free people in your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you that sin and death and Satan himself have been conquered and that your power is everlasting. Thank you that we can say with great hope, it is indeed finished. You've done it, and you've done it for our sake. Help us to remember your completed work on the cross when our own lives is fraught with temptations, hardship, heartaches. May we know and may we cherish the reality we have in you that you've done it. It is finished. Praise you for making all things new, therefore. And we praise you and give you thanks for your mercy that we see morning by morning. In your holy name we pray, Heavenly Father. Amen.